Good Purim. Well, not really, not quite yet, but it's Adar. And you know, our sages tell us, Mishin Nichnas Adar Marvin Besimcha, that when we come into the month of Adar, you've got to increase the happiness. And Lord knows the world could use more simcha. We could use more joy. And the question I want to engage over the next few weeks is, what exactly is simcha? And what do I need in order to be happy? So, you know, lest we should launch into this in a frivolous fashion, it's important to note that the question of what happiness is so serious that the sages almost excluded the book of Kohelet from the Tanakh, from the Jewish Bible, over the issue. If you look in the Gemara, in Shabbos and Lamed, Amud Bet, there are two seemingly contradictory quotes from the book of Kohelet that the Gemara brings. It says, "B'shavachti ani et ha-simcha," right? That I... You know, Shlomo Melech, when he's speaking there, he praises joy. And then he says, "Ulesimcha, ma ze osa?" And simcha, like, what does this do? What good is it? This is not a casual contradiction. And the fact that the sages struggled so deeply with it that they were willing to consider excluding a book that they did consider ultimately to be sacred should give us pause. Because, you know, I relate to the Tanakh as the structure with which we're meant to struggle and dance down through the ages, in order that the process of becoming ourselves actually draws us closer to God and not further away. Another way of saying that is that these are the words of authority to which we bring our autonomy in order to emerge as authentic human beings and servants of God. That's Tzelem Elokim, to show that we're in the image of God. So, to me, one answer that emerges from this Gemara of, like, what is simcha is an inversion of the well-known statement of Rabbi Nachman, mitzvah gedola liot besimcha. It's a great commandment to be in joy. And that is that simcha gedola liot b'mitzvah. It's a great joy to actually be involved in a commandment. That's because I didn't read you the end of the Gemara. The Gemara goes on after bringing these contradictory statements of, right, the praiseworthiness of joy and this question of almost despair, the existential despair that underlies so much of Kohelet, of, like, you know, what has this joy done after all? It says, well, you know, the first one, the positive one, I should say the second in the list of the Gemara, right, is simcha shel mitzvah, right? This is the joy we get from doing a mitzvah. I'm going to leave that a little undefined right now. And the second one is the simcha of everything else, we'll say. And it brings the example of the prophet Elisha. You know, Elisha once found himself stuck in the desert with the king of Israel and a couple of other, the king of Yehuda and the king of Israel and the king of, I believe, of Moab. And they were going to war against Edom, and they got stuck in the desert. There was no water. Their troops were dying, and they didn't know what to do. And they said, oh, we have a prophet with us. Solve all our problems. And they call the prophet, and he says, and he looks around, he sees the king of Israel, who at that point was a wicked king. And he says, I can't really help you, because it's just depressing to me to see that we've joined ourselves to such evil. But you want me to speak to God? Bring me a musician and let him play. So the musician comes and plays and lifts his heart. And it's from this that the Gemara learns that the Spirit of God only rests upon those who are in a state of joy. And the Gemara uses it here to prove that this is the simcha shel mitzvah. It's the joy of doing a mitzvah. So in other words, when Rabbi Nachman said, a mitzvah gedola liot besimcha, it's a great commandment to be joyful, he apparently also meant that it's a great joy to be doing commandments. So another answer, which I want to mention, but I'll address in a later podcast, is the Maharal of Prague, early 17th century, actually late 16th, he died the early 17th century, sage. His assertion is that simcha is actually the emotive state associated with emuna, with that intimate knowing of God. So we're going to keep returning to that question. So for now, I want to actually focus on the other subset of the question, which is not so much what is simcha, but what do I need in order to be happy, which is not only more practical, but I think in many ways is a more accessible way to ask the question. Less abstract, more practical, right? So for me, I can tell you that simcha is a sense that I have a mission and that my energies are engaged in moving it forward. If I was going to close my eyes and picture a joyous moment, they are clearly from my days as a rock climber and a mountaineer, because there is no joy quite like summiting, right? You marshal all of your forces to reach a clear goal and you get there, and oh, the view. right? But, you know, of course, it's all downhill from there. So there's kind of an implicit challenge. And to me, the pasuk, the verse that that embodies the relationship between striving for a goal and joy is Yismach Lev Mevachshei Adonai. Right? Let the hearts of those who seek God rejoice. Or not even let. The hearts of those who seek God are joyous. Right? What is it about the seeking that brings the joy? And I think that this sense of seeking actually can open up the tension in the Gemara, which I just cited. The tension between Simcha Shel Mitzvah and my joy in climbing rocks. I mean, was that not real joy? If one wants to take a simple reading of the Gemara, real joy happens when I make Kiddush or when I put on tefillin, not when I climb rocks. And that makes me a little sad. So what we need to do is take a look at the meaning of these quotes from Kohelet. Because remember, this all started because Kohelet was going to be pushed out of the canon because of seemingly contradictory statements about joy. And what was the problematic statement? It says, concerning joy, what does this accomplish? Simcha, ma ze osa? You know, and I think that many of us can relate to that, that ephemeral nature of joyous moments and the sense that they lack meaning. Right? And that is indeed what the Midrash and the classic commentators say, that the emphasis here is on the ephemeral nature of most happiness. Right? And the reality is that every rock I ever climbed, every mountain I ever summited is in the past. It no longer really exists for me. And I might be tempted to then say that it didn't matter. But is it really true that actions which bring me joy in the moment have no lasting effect? Now, before we answer that, the joy which saves Kohelet from the dustbin of history, it says, is the joy of doing mitzvot, right? Simcha shel mitzvah. But what does that mean? What happens if I'm actually not emotively ecstatic when I make Kiddush? Is that an irrelevant act? In the same way that perhaps being joyful while climbing a rock is also irrelevant? You know, in this, we're touching on a core definition of what mitzvot are, which I would define as the actions which are meant to move creation closer to perfection. I say closer to because I don't believe actually perfection is anything other than an aspirational state in our world. Nevertheless, the world could be a lot better than it is now. And mitzvot are that which empowers us to move things toward the good, the tov, in that sense that the Torah teaches us. And in that, they contain really a double joy. The knowledge that there is a wholeness toward which we're striving, even if I myself will never see it. Right? And the great joy of knowing that I have agency, that I can have a piece in making it happen. Right? But what about mountain climbing? And in particular, what can the joy of mountain climbing teach us about the particular face of God, which is available through the avoda of Adar, through the service of joy, and that culminates in Purim? So I want to come back to the question I left unanswered, which is, what exactly was the mitzvah that brought Elisha into a state of joy in which he could actually receive prophecy, which made him fit to see the face of God? Just to remind you, the Gemara, when it said that that Simcha is praiseworthy in the voice of Kohelet, said, well, that's speaking of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And then when it wants to bring you the example of Simcha Shel Mitzvah, what I wanted to see was something deeply rabbinic. Oh, he made Kiddush and he was smiling. Or, oh gosh, when that Shochet killed the cow, everybody danced. But instead, what it tells you is that the prophet was so broken by the association of the potential purity of Am Yisrael with its broken side, that he couldn't be joyous. And therefore, they brought him a musician to play. Where was the mitzvah? Where is the mitzvah? And I want to say that that perhaps the answer is the joy itself. Maybe. Mitzvah gedola liot besimcha tamid. That the joy itself was the mitzvah. That just as true emunah brings simcha, so too the joy of the music revived his emunah. It connected him to something outside of the immediacy of his situation. And perhaps that's the fulfillment of God's command. Or we could say that just as that verse from Tehillim I quoted earlier, that the heart of those, may the heart of those who seek God rejoice, right? Maybe the mitzvah which brought Elisha to true joy and from there to the divine presence was his fulfillment of the command to seek God. His desire to see God, which was enabled through the music, was actually the source of joy that brought him into the state of being able to see him. And now I want to say that if the act of seeking is what brings joy, and that this joy can reveal the divine, then I am absolutely confident that what I was seeking on those mountaintops and the joy which I felt did indeed bring me a little closer to God. Because, you know, as the Kutzker says in answer to his own question of where is God, he says, anywhere you let him in. So really, it's not a question of, you know, if I'm making Kiddush, doing ritual slaughter, or putting on tefillin, any joy I feel counts there, and anything else I do, even if I'm joyous, doesn't count at all. The question is, what am I after? If what I'm after is coming closer to a true expression of self and bringing that truer self in a closer relationship to God, then the joy which I feel there, that I think the prophet teaches us is simcha shel mitzvah. Not the joy of doing a commandment, but a commanded joy. The joy which is part of moving creation a little bit closer to completion and therefore offers us an insight on what it is that the joy of Adar adds to our relationship to God. Because, of course, God is not in the book of Esther. And yet, the book of Esther contains some of the greatest moments of joy expressed in the whole Bible. And that's because, of course, God's in the book of Esther. You just have to seek him there. If you want more of this Torah, you can find us on SulamYaakov.com, on the Sounds of Sulam Yaakov on iTunes, on Stitcher. You can look for us on SoundCloud, or you can come by to the Beit Midrash anytime.